Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock. This is the Academy Review, and joining me is probably the most ardent United fan ever when it comes to attending matches. The man that's been at more games than anyone I've ever met, David Pritt. Sorry, anyone other than maybe Alex and John Neild. Yeah. I have to put that disclaimer in there because otherwise they'll be throwing stones through my window. How are we doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. How are you coping now? Because some games you can go to, because some games you can't, can you? How's it been
for you? No, so... Because I go watch all levels of United, it's the only team that you've been able to watch is the women's under-21s. But now we're going into tier three, that's over with.
So nah, there's you can't even watch the women's under-21s.
It's all gone. So first team, under-23s, 18s, women, under-21 women, all gone.
You see, it's bad enough for me. I'm like, I can't go and watch, you know, United. And you think, like, I've got one set of games I can't watch. You who do go to all the games, you've got like four different sets of games you can't watch. And as you mentioned, it's only going to get worse. It's going to be a long time, I think, before we see fans at football. I know there was talk on the 23,500 at Old Trafford. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But that doesn't stop us watching the games, even if we can't be there. In terms of the academy, with the under-18s, what's been happening there? What's the latest?
It's a bit of a mixed bag with the 18s. They've won some games, lost some others, and recently just got knocked out of the Youth Cup, which was a bit of a pain, which it was last year's Youth Cup. So we got through to the semi-final. I obviously did the fan cams for the Old Devils.
Yeah.
And Wigan we beat last time in the quarters. Yeah, I think it was Wigan in the quarters. Then we got Chelsea. We were supposed to play Chelsea away at Stamford Bridge. But they did. On Friday, we had the semi-final against Chelsea.
Yeah.
At St George's Park. And the final was last night. All Monday for people watching. But yeah, we got absolutely battered for 30 minutes. Ridiculously battered. Will Fish and Ted Mengi were immense, really, as centre-backs. And Reece Devine, left-back, did really well as well. The fact they didn't score there was unbelievable. And then last 15 minutes of the half, we worked our way into it and did all right. Second half starts, they score straight away, 1-0, and then it's a bit of an even game. But all in all, you'd probably say Chelsea deserved it because of the first half hour. But it could have easily been us scoring. We had an amazing chance in the first half. Anthony Elanga, if you get the chance to watch it, he's like flicks it up, left, right foot up in the air, and then does like an overhead kick. It's a crossbar. Unbelievable. If that had gone in, yeah, it would have been a different story.
I mean, they always seem to have this reputation, Chelsea. They do have a strong youth team. They've got a great record in FA Youth Cup, but they tend to bring in a lot of players, don't they, from overseas. They sign like these youngsters, which United have done in the past. I'm not knocking that, but it does seem to be their MO, and they have a really strong academy side. Not necessarily because they nurture academy and they do great, although they've got great facilities, but because they bring in players and because they always strengthen their academy side. I mean, I think their record in the FA Youth Cups is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think they're one behind us, and you know, we won all them in the 50s. That's why our record's up.
But
what you got to remember is this was last season's squad as well. So we've had players that have left, and even like Greenwood, he was eligible to play, but now he's a first team player. They had, I think, three players who played for their first team. And we've had new signings such as like McNeil and Hugill, who weren't eligible to play because it was last season's squad. So I think that 18 squad for this season is better, but we couldn't
Can we not have just brought Mason in? Can we not have just done that, man? Come on. Bring him in. He scores 12 goals.
Listen, we'd have won it by now.
Yeah.
And then back in the first team, you've cut,
and it's like happy days, a bit of positivity, and we all need that. But you mentioned some of the players there. Ted Mengi, I think you mentioned.
Yeah.
We keep hearing about him. We know he's sort of been in and around the first team. How far off do you think, I think I asked you this last time, but it's relevant now. How far off do you think he is to stake in a claim in the first team? Are we still a couple of seasons away?
Probably. It's going to be difficult, isn't it? Because they're not going to do anything with Maguire. They spent a lot of money on him. He's a captain, going to be there. Tuanzebe came in, didn't he, against Paris, was it? Did amazing. So he's
phenomenal performance.
And Lindelof is still working with him. He's probably fourth choice centre-back, but it's going
to
be...
it's not bad at all. To be fair, especially
He has been around the squad as well. He's training with him. You think he's been Europe with him. So a couple of injuries and he'll be in there.
If that happened, if he had to play any games, would you be worried for him?
Not at all. I think he's, you know, he's always been older than his years in a way. Body wise, he looks massive. If you, when you saw him when he was 15, you're like, no, he's like 25. Him, honestly, amazing player, strong, tough, and I think he'd had no worries.
You mentioned that. I mean, you mentioned obviously it didn't go according to plan against Chelsea, but there's obviously some good performances there. How confident are you in some of these youngsters that we've got a good crop of youngsters here? Because people always look at the academy team and you look at it now, especially with Ole, and you go, these are players that if they perform at the top level in the academy, they could have a chance at the first team. This isn't like United of previous seasons where under Jose, you didn't have a chance. Under Van Gaal, he'd throw you in when you were 15, then you wouldn't get in again or whatever. It was a bit crazy under Van Gaal, wasn't it? It was like, McNair starting, what? And then like, you know, Blackett's back in and then you might not get another chance or whatever. How do you rate this crop of youngsters? Do you think there is one or two there that can kick on and hopefully get a chance under Ole?
Well, you've got to look in the positions that we need, and we'd probably need a backup at right back, and that would have been Ethan Laird, but once again, he's injured. He's had a terrible time, he's had like three
injuries
in the past year.
I feel for him because him and Brandon Williams, they're not that dissimilar wording.
For me, they were always been equal, one right back, one left back. And
Brandon Williams, obviously, you know, at one point looked like he was going to be our first choice left back. Not necessarily the case now, but he's still in with a shout. Ethan Laird, who I was really looking forward to seeing, I'll be honest with you, I thought this season could be the season where he kicked on a little bit. And yet, again,
it's just bad luck. I don't think he's injury prone. I just think he's bad luck.
Yeah.
And hopefully he'll get through this and just push on because he is capable of it. But other positions like midfield, you've got, obviously we sent a load out on loan, like Dylan Levitt and Garner. He's at Watford. Traore is out on loan, and then with Galbraith, who played for the 23s the other day, unbelievable performance. I mean, he's not played for a while and he's just signed a new contract, plays for the 23s and just one of the best man of the match performances you'll see. Ends up scoring the winning goal in injury time with the last kick of the game off a penalty. But yeah, for me, I think he's going to benefit that. The spotlight's on him now because the other players have gone out on loan. He's like the main midfielder in the 23s and he's already played for Northern Ireland's first team. Yeah, I think he can really push and get into that first team. He played for us in that game over in Kazakhstan, but I think give him a chance for a couple of games.
I keep hearing about him, and you mentioned the game against, was it Astana when he was?
Yeah.
When we played, like, we took all the children over there, didn't we? And just let him, all the children and Lee Grant. Jesse, captain.
Scored as well.
Yeah. We were doing a preview, right? I remember we were doing a preview, and as we were recording it, I think it was Cal Egger was on it, and he went, I've got the travelling squad here. And he named it, and it was in the MEN, and I went, it's rubbish, that. That will be the travelling squad. We won't say that much of a reserve team, because it was like loads of players who never played for United. But it was, Galbraith, what type of a midfielder is he? What type of player is he? Because I've seen glimpses of him, obviously seen that game mentioned. I don't know a lot about him. How would you describe him?
I really like him, because he's, now he's on his own, but he's not got Levitt and Garner with him. He's got a few different, like he steps back a bit, you know, and he's got a pretty good pass. He's passing more often now because that used to be Levitt and Garner's job.
Yeah.
He's, you know, spraying it around, looks good. He's box to box, and he's not scored one in a while, but when he does get it at the edge of the box, he can bang him. And I mean, better than Paul Scholes in some ways.
Better than Paul Scholes.
I think if he played,
you heard it in now, that's getting clipped up.
No.
When he ends up, I'm altering him. I'm scoring, only joking, he won't do well.
No, I mean hitting the ball.
I thought you were going to say tackling then, but he's better at Paul Scholes. Yeah. I'm better at Paul Scholes than tackling.
Like volleys and things like that, he hits them so sweet. And
Why do you think he's stayed around then? He's not gone out on loan then when he's some of his compatriots have?
To be honest, I don't know, because I haven't played for a few games before this game recently. And maybe it was contract negotiations, because he has just signed a new contract for, I think it's 3 years.
Right.
So maybe that's what it was. They were talking about that, because it was the same with Chong and Garner back then, when they weren't really playing because contract negotiations. So maybe something to do with that.
But it's not necessarily a reflection on his ability.
No, the club
hasn't come in and said, "How can we have this lad?"
No, I think they've sent quite a few out on loan, and maybe they just want to keep one.
You can't send them all, can you?
Because it's one of them. If we have an injuries crisis, we're going to need someone to be on the bench, and he'd be perfect for it.
And who knows? You know, listen, it's happened in the past. You have an injury crisis. Marcus Rashford, exactly. Under Van Gaal. You step up, you take your chance, and before you know it, You're saving loads of kids' lives across the country. What else have you got for us? What other games have you been watching? Because I know you like...
So, yeah, it's been quite a few. So, we played Rochdale in the EFL Trophy. That was a terrible game, 0-0. But they got an amazing thing now where you have a penalty shootout at the end if it's a draw and you get an extra point if you win that. So we got 2 points. So we're on 5 points, top of the group. And
Right, explain it to me, because what you just said didn't make any...
It's a great thing.
Right, I didn't even realise this, and I should have done. Sorry, I should have done my research, right? So if you win on a penalty shootout...
No. So you draw the game.
Draw the game, right?
It doesn't finish. You have a penalty shootout after.
Right.
And then if you win the penalty shootout, you get an extra point, so you get 2 points.
So it's not two, right? So it's not like 1 point for a draw.
It's 1 point for a draw. Yeah. But you get an extra point if you win the shootout.
Ah, right. Okay, right. I'm with you. So we're now into a system where you can get 2 points for a game.
Yeah.
If you win a shootout, right? Okay.
And
sounds crazy, but it might just work.
So I think we're top of the group, and we've got Morecambe next. And if we get any sort of result out of that, 1 point, 2 points, or 3 points, we'll be right through to the knockout stages.
It's not very often you hear that in a game of football, is it? Not since like the 60s or whenever it was they stopped having 2 points for
I think it's a good idea, though, because there's a winner at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to feel like you... But
I wouldn't have it in the league, but in cup games.
It was a 0-0 one against Rochdale. You know, there's some games where you just want to go home. I know you're not at the game, but do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've got penalties for a point. But, you know, it's good for some of these players as well to experience
some Europa League games like that.
Yeah. Do you know what? Forget about the shootout. You can just have the win. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, just like we talked about the 18s, but Joe Hugill, who we got signed from Sunderland, he's been on fire. Striker, he scored for the 18s. Put it down here what he scored. So he scored two against Blackburn. He got one against Burnley in a 5-1 win. Then he went up to the 23s and scored two goals against Blackburn's 23s like a week later after he scored two against the 18s. So he's really doing well. And I think, like I say, he'd have been great in the Youth Cup, but couldn't play him. And then there's Charlie McNeil, who we just signed from City.
Is this a kid that scored like
500, 600 goals?
Yeah, 600 goals, and he's only like 12 or whatever. I know he's a little bit older now. How old is he? 16 now? 17?
17, I think.
But, you know, I mean, his goal scoring record, I was doing a paper talk, and I remember sort of, we linked with this lad who's been at City, and he scored. And I remember reading it thinking, is that a typo? They added an extra zero on there. He's got like 600 goals. How's he looks?
He's got two goals in one game. So that's
probably a bad game for him, isn't it? Yeah. He only got the two.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen that game. But I know he scored two goals, which, I mean, that's anything to go by. He's only on a positive.
Mate, listen, you know, this is obviously a kid who knows where the back of the net is. The question is, can he keep going and progressing? Because he was at City. I think he's a United fan, and he ended up at City, at their academy, and then he's come back to United, or come to United. Which is always a good story, and if he's a success, I'm no doubt we'll rub that right in the Blues' nose faces. But, you know, up and running, obviously enjoying at United so far, getting goals. I mean, you're looking forward to eventually seeing him.
Yeah, because I heard about him being at City.
You did, and you know, I shouldn't really say this, but I will. Dave's ITK, Dave, right? But Dave's one of them. He's the only ITK I know that like doesn't brag about it or doesn't say things. He says certain things, and he was like, just keep your eye on McNeil. Good player, and you were right. He was, from what we gather, he's doing well, and we got him, and that's happening. Obviously, with a player like that who scores loads of goals, he's going to always get a lot of attention, and sometimes players can get a little bit overawed by it, but he sounds like he's got good people around him, knows what he's doing, got his head screwed on and can kick on.
Yeah, I just, like I said, swap me back watching it so you can watch his game. Obviously, when you see the highlights and stuff or the game, it's just focused on when he's got the ball, but it's stuff off the ball and things like that where you want to see what they're like and how they getting positions and stuff, which that's what I'm missing really most.
Is he like, what type of a player is it? Is he someone that you'd put in a sort of Mason Greenwood mold, or is he a different type of player?
I've not seen enough of him. Like I say, he's only played the one game. But if he's scoring, I mean, I hope he's not like Mason Greenwood, because then they can both play together and we could just score like 20 goals a game. You know,
imagine that. Imagine if like, you look at Mason's record, his was ridiculous. Wasn't it like, I don't know, 40 goals in 40 games, whatever it was, probably a bit more. If you've got like, you know, 10 years time, this could be it, or 5 years time, you know, you never know, because I don't think you've got a little while to go yet with the likes of Marcus and Anthony Martial ahead of him, but you never know, and it has been great so far to see. It's good to see Mason getting back into the first team, getting a goal as well.
Yeah, and that's what he's all about, like that game, the goal against, who do we play the other, Red Bull the other day, the first one. That was amazing.
See, that's him, innit? That's what only he could do that. I think if you give that chance to, if Marcus has that, or if even Anthony Martial has that, especially on the left, I don't see them scoring that. It's such a tight angle.
But it's great to see it because he was doing that. That's what he was doing for the 18s, scoring goals like that. And I mean, he's not even chipped anyone yet, but things like that. And people just say, yeah, it's great, but will he be able to do it in the first team? And now he's proven, yeah, he can. No, you know, a shot like that, no keeper's getting that. It's just such a tight angle, far post. No one's getting that.
It's weird because he's not really got going yet this season, has he, Mason?
No, well, he's not. I don't think
not a criticism of him. He's not had a chance. And when he has had a chance, the team around have been dreadful. You know, look at the Arsenal game. I'm not blaming him for any of that because you can only finish what you're given. I think he had one chance where Marcus played a through ball and he did well. He got his shot off, but, you know, it was saved. So I think we're going to see a lot more of him and he's going to score lots of goals this season because that's the type of player he is. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. Who else have you been watching or not watching? But trying to watch, I should say.
So I'll go for the 23 results now. So like I say, we played that Rochdale game 0-0. Then the Blackburn 2-2, which was, it was actually quite a good game that. Yeah. Like I say, Hugo scored twice. That was away. And then Arsenal.
Mate, come on. We
were 3-1 up. All the world, you know, looks amazing. And then, yeah, we conceded two late on, 3-3, and that was a big disappointment. But we played some good stuff in there. It's just, you know, let our heads go down and just conceded two. But yeah, that's been it really for the 23s. Like I say, they've got Brighton next and then Morecambe coming up, which I'm looking forward to because it's the EFL Trophy. I think that's a real test for these players now because 23s games, it's like I say...
You're not a big fan of the under 23s,
I am
you?
And I'm not.
I don't mean the players. You love the players. I mean the system and the levels that sometimes...
Sometimes it doesn't matter if you lose. You know, if you're promoted or relegated, does it really matter? You know, as long as you're playing well, you're going to get in the first team if you're in the second division. But when you're playing against this, like, EFL trophy thing, you're playing against real players who their career's on the line if they lose a game kind of thing. They want to win a trophy.
Well, it's tough, isn't it? It's a tough level, do you know what I mean? Like you say, these are lads who, you know, if they were to drop down a level, these players, not obviously under 23s, but players like Morecambe and whatever, then, you know, it's touch and go whether they're going to sort of be able to carry on as professionals. So it matters. Obviously, it matters to all players, but it matters especially at that level.
And I want another thing is, it's much tougher, and you know the pressure is on them in these games. And if they do have to have that step up, you know, due to them playing well or there's an injury and they need to fill in, it's not going to be easy for them straight away, is it? So they need to know that they're going to be playing against players, you know, the practice against players who are going to kick them and going to push them off the ball and things like that. Because obviously, you're playing against men. These are 23s. A lot of them are still 18, 19, they're still quite young. You know, I think there's some 17-year-olds in our 23s. So you got to know what it's like to play against men, really. And yeah, I think it's a great thing for him.
No, I agree. I think it's a good test of that. And, you know, you've seen it. I mean, it's not all about just physicality and playing against big players and stuff like that, but it helps, doesn't it? And it helps get used to it. And I've seen a few under 23 games and I'd say the kids and it's enjoyable. But sometimes you do get almost that training game element a little bit in certain games, not all of them, but a couple of games.
We got promoted from last season because they cut the season short and we got promoted in the first division. And is there any difference between this division? I don't think there is. You're playing just different teams, that's it. They're all at a similar level. They might as well make it one massive league rather than two divisions. If you get relegated or promoted, it don't really mean anything at all.
It's a big shame as well because, I mean, it's a shame for all fans and it's a shame for all players at any level. But the under-23s was a good, you know, Friday night down at Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good little trip, wasn't it? You know, take the family and
I... At the moment, it'd be freezing, but...
No, yeah, you're right. But it was good for the players as well because, obviously, you've got a bit of a crowd there. Not massive crowd, but there's people there, you know, a couple of thousand or whatever. Good experience. You're not getting that now.
No.
So, you know, it's not the sort of the same atmosphere, obviously, and yeah, it just does feel it is a shame. And you want some of these youngsters, you want them to play in front of people, you want them to play at a decent level, and you want them to get sort of tested, and they're missing out on a little bit. I feel at the minute,
in a way, you're like the 18s, you're playing at Carrington still, so it's some games you hardly get anyone there, over, like if you're playing City, it's going to be quite a few there, but that doesn't really matter. But yeah, with the 23s, there is a crowd, usually around 800 to 1,000 people watching and supporting them, so. Yeah, it's going to be disheartening to some of them, but some of them never experienced it. They've come straight from the 18s up to it, so they don't know. But the new players especially, I think that's that's going to be different for them when the fans finally back.
When the fans are finally back, what's on the horizon next? What have we got coming up next?
So the 18s have got Leeds next.
We all hate Leeds scum.
I know. I'd love to have gone to that.
Does it kick off in these games? What are the under 18s?
I think the players know that. Oh, we're United players there, Leeds. We don't get on.
Yeah.
But when the game's on, I think they do. Like when we play Liverpool, it always kicks off.
Yeah, I think it's just in the back of
your mind where
the chance start and all that, yeah. And then there's been like proper aggro at some of them games.
Yeah,
hasn't
I remember
United,
under
18s Liverpool
last season, and there was like a brawl for like 2 minutes after the game, and it's over nothing. And it's like it's just in the back of their head. So yeah, we're not supposed to like these. And then, like I said, with the 23s, we play Brighton, and then we got that EFL trophy game against Morecambe, which I think's on pay per view or something. You have to pay like a.
Well, really?
Yeah, they've been streaming them.
Yeah, because the Salford one was pay-per-view.
Yeah,
really.
they've all been like that.
Seriously, yeah. You're going to start charging people to watch the youngsters in the EFL trophy. Come on. It's a big ask there, but I know you're probably paying for it. You can't go without your football, say no more. Eh? We won't ask any questions there, Dave. Don't want to get you into any sort of trouble. Dave, where can people find you?
Just on Twitter, David J. Pritt, and on Instagram, David Pritt. We've got the J.
Yeah, and also you'll see him on our previews as well. He's always sending his predictions for our previews. You're always down left Paddock FC as well, aren't you, watching that mob?
Doing bits for him now, so I've got...
Doing all right, aren't they? They're getting there and thereabouts, aren't they? Yeah. One or two good players, not so good in my opinion.
I've got to give him credit, he's not too bad, eh?
Cam?
Yeah.
Don't tell him that, he'll go to his head. On that bombshell, we're going to wrap it up. This has been the Academy Review. That's been Dave, I've been Jay. Don't forget to hit like, share, and subscribe. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.